Point Reyes Station. You are listening to KWMR 90.5 on the dial, 89.9 in Bolinas, 92.3 in San Geronimo Valley. My name is Diane O'Neill, and we are starting our next chapter here on Hear and Open. I've got two young chaps in studio with me today. Their names are Norm O'Hagan and Yatu
Pelaez
Espinoza. He added that extra name a second ago for me. And these two guys are, they're doing something a little bit revolutionary. They are designers and creatives and thinkers behind Teal Process and Company, and one of their projects is called Paragon Day Systems, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's a revolution in our orientation to time and how we use time, how we calculate time, how we experience time, and the tools that we use for it, which is the entry point that they have chosen to take. So, welcome, guys.
Ooh. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here at Point Reyes.
Yes.
Right?
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it lovely to be in person?
It was a nice drive. Nice drive up.
Paragon Day Systems. How do you guys usually bring people into this concept that have no idea of what they have no ground to relating to it? What's your quick explanation for what you guys are doing?
Yeah, do you want to? I feel like usually.
So, there's many ways. Obviously, it depends on who that person is. But for the general speaking person, I would say I just show them my phone and I tell them, like, for example, right now it's 8 hours and 16 minutes till set, and they're like, till sunset, you know, and I'm like, yeah. And then, like, I think that's a really good anchor because it's grounded in reality and locality. And when they look at the phone and see that, like, the thing that is very hard to replace, which is like the clock that screams at you every time you look at your phone, it has been replaced. Mm-hmm. I think that's also an anchor that kind of is like hitting a refresh on a canvas to understanding how can we reorientate ourselves mm-hmm. with time. And so I feel like that kind of judo move is a way to communicate orientation and lifestyle that's pretty effective, and then they typically ask more after that.
So these guys have created an app.
Well, they hate it. It's not.
Because it's frustrating because it's more than an app, but mm-hmm. the app is typically like an entry point for people to experience the concept, to start to immerse themselves in the concept. But the bigger idea here is
to change the way you look at time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger idea.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ways we look at time. When we first made the system, we were roommates in New York, and I covered up all the clocks in our home because we needed to try to remove that time as much as possible from our lives. So, like, your oven has a clock, your microwave, they all have these clocks sneaking in.
Uh-huh.
Thermostats.
Mm-hmm. So let's back up here. You guys have been, like, creative partners and duos for some time. Obviously, you're in the Bay Area now, but you mm-hmm. met in New York and lived together in New York.
Well, it's probably a decade now.
We met in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Florida. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've been all over.
Yeah, back in school.
We threw a hackathon together.
Mm-hmm.
That was the working relationship, and we realized, only in hindsight, that we actually enjoyed creating educational environments.
Mm-hmm.
Educational environments, nice.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So I Let's go to the moment where you, either one or both of you, started to question these time systems and even have the impulse to cover up the clocks in your house. Mm-hmm. So that initial impulse, and then how it grew from there, and the why. And yeah, I also a bit of a framing around like what's different. Maybe we'll start with the why and what the challenge was, and then get to what you guys have landed on in regards to a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it started, it was 2020, and it started with us thinking about our experience of time, in that we would be, say, in the apartment Monday through Friday, have work to do. And at the end of the week, we were like, you know, that didn't really, that felt like one day.
No, keep the context, this is during the pandemic.
Correct.
Yeah. Which was a weird bubble of time in and of itself.
Correct. Yeah, like, right. There's that one image of March, the warp hole into the calendar on March. That resonates.
So that kind of set a ground of opportunity to really start questioning, like, what?
Especially because there was a lot of structures that were detached from, like, current methods and process and society. So, like, typical operations and due process of how a city even operates was put on pause for a sec. And so that also helped, like, try to re-understand typical conventions and how much time actually is the dictator of it.
Yeah, and we kind of realized at that point that time was made up. And then it's, we started thinking about, okay, what's a day? And a day doesn't necessarily have to be a 24-hour period. And we started thinking about, oh, what is vacation? You know, in terms of ways that you use time and ways that you experience time, vacation is kind of a, is a headspace that you enter into. And so we were thinking about it from that lens. And so Paragon Day, Paragon means ideal. So it's in search of the ideal day. What is your ideal way that you move through time? And so we started at that layer, and we're thinking much more. We started thinking about how do we live time in a more relative way, because we were coming at it from, well, this is our experience of time. That didn't feel like Monday through Friday. That just felt like one day. That was one type of day. And that's when we started thinking about our sense of time changes a lot when the sun is up and when the sun is down. And so we started thinking, well, could we measure that? And could that be a new way for us to have a clock? So it was kind of a pretty small experiment.
No, I think we were fortunate enough to be in an environment where there were a lot of windows.
Yeah.
And so
super tall.
Like physically, there were windows that showed you the sky outside. And
yeah, well, I looked outside. I think we were potentially south facing, and I got to see the sun start and end like a loading bar with an arc. And so I got really accustomed to knowing where the day was just by looking at the sun.
This was in New York?
Correct.
So that's got me thinking about where New York is geographically, latitude and longitude on the planet, and the path of the sun, you know, because if you're able to see it through one wall, right, it's very different from the experience of time that when I started thinking about time and learning about time, I was in Hawaii, which, you know, close to the equator, middle of the Pacific. The horizons there are crisp and clear and clean. So the opportunity to really watch the sky and the movements of the celestial bodies is very available. And because it's so close to the equator, the sun crosses directly overhead. And on the equinoxes, there's during the zenith, you experience no shadow for a few minutes, which is pretty trippy.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, but that's not how it is everywhere, right? In New York or in more northern cities, some of the, I mean, where do you guys know? I know this is part of what you've studied too, like all of the angular realities of how the experience of the sun as time changes place to place to place. And in some areas, the sun doesn't even rise all the way.
Or set.
Or set.
In the Arctic. Arctic and Antarctic.
Yeah, how far do you have to go to experience that?
Hopefully someday we'll see it. We'll find that out and go there. But we call those, when it doesn't set, we call that a sun dip. When it doesn't set, when it just gets to its lowest point, it goes back up. But I think in terms of experiencing no shadow, I think the solstice was it, or
the eclipse.
The eclipse. Thank you. The solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. We went to that in outside Austin. I want to say, a couple of years ago, and that was nice. That was a nice moment.
Yeah, the most memorable moment for me was when there was a complete total eclipse, and it was darkness for a little bit, and when the sun continued to pass, the birds started chirping like this morning.
So it was like a second chance at morning.
Yeah.
And one... So I imagine that's really starting to push on that concept of what a day is. Right? We kind of jumped in here. So let's... I'm not sure if people are oriented quite yet around what the difference is between this concept that you guys are developing compared to what we've got going already. So you started questioning these things of like what a day is, how time passes. You started noticing paying more attention to the environment, I guess, as you described, like the sun through your windows. So.
Yeah, our experience of it.
Yeah,
so we have... So Paragonde Systems is a human timekeeping framework. And there's a lot of things we're questioning in it. And one of the ones for... In terms of replacing UTC, or Universal Coordinated Time, is we call that horizon time. And so horizon time is what Yatu was mentioning earlier, where right now it is 8:05 till set, and it is also 6:19 past rise. And so...
In point rays.
Thank you. In California.
Specifically.
In the United States. And so it's bringing location back into time. You know, space and location was abstracted away once we created time zones. And we're bringing it back into the equation. So that we can have a sense of time that is more tied to our human experience. And so we see UTC as much more of a machine time. And the time zones were created in a more industrial era. And they were created for safety because trains were crashing into each other. Because, you know, you needed to know you had one time in one town, and two towns over, they would have a different sense of time. And you weren't able to coordinate. And so they needed to be able to coordinate without talking to each other. And so what we're doing with Horizon Time and Paragonde Systems is going back to the sundial, the original way that we track time, which was based off of the sun's movement. And in order to do that, you know, you just need to know your location. And so we have essentially all of our clocks just need to have GPS in them, which is now possible. It wasn't possible back in the industrial era, but now it's possible.
So moving time back to the human experience, like reclaiming time from abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a personal experience that you guys had that made this feel important? Or, like, what was the moment where it clicked in your head that this is something worth pursuing and figuring out?
There are many instances, and that's the great part about it, is that it's like a compounding multiplier reasoning, but some of those multipliers would say is, I looked at the calendar and I saw a bunch of cell blocks. It makes me feel like I was a prisoner of time. And other people were just anchoring themselves at the top of the hour and half minute mark and 15 minute marks of the UTC time system, which I think was too arbitrary. And another one is that, like, time is always going to be there, whether you like it or not. And so it's something that is worth being intentful about. Like, it's not like there's a lot of people who work in certain markets because there's industry trends or a market for it, period. But, like, the market of time is it affects every single person in this planet. And I think thinking about something that affects every single person on this planet is good scale to reflect on. And then
the ultimate scale.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe. Maybe. I'm sure there'll be other ones. And then lastly, it's just like, you know, I think, you know, time's worth more than money. And when you have time on your side, you may be living a better lifestyle. And I feel like this is a way to kind of help people ground themselves on ways that they can reclaim their time, even if that means catching the sunset.
Yeah, those are good ones. I feel like after time as a medium to work with requires a lot of time, and so I feel like it was over time that it felt like something that was something that's going to take a while to figure out. And so it's like, oh, we're not going to figure this out overnight. This is going to take a while. So it's more about, it was like, okay, well, we need to have ways of living with it so that we can live with it, so that we know where it wants to go.
Yeah, there's wisdom in that. And this, I mean, time itself is the thing, and our relationship to time itself is the thing that either makes us feel urgency or feel spaciousness. And it's our relationship to it and the way that we hold it and work with it and think about it that allows us to experience one or the other.
It also feels like I first thought this with music, where music feels made of time. You know, we're just kind of bottling up. Music is just a bottling up of time. And I wonder if we have this hourglass here. I wonder if it'll pick it up. No. We have another hourglass that you can hear the sand pretty nicely. But yeah, it also feels like we're also made of time to a degree.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We are.
I'm going to play a song for us and let us digest some of these initial thoughts, and we'll come back and explore some of the offshoot dimensions that this conversation is bringing up. Welcome back to Here and Open. I'm here with Norm O'Hagan and Yatu
Pillais
Espinoza of Teal
Process.
Teal Process.
And Company.
And Company. Thank you, guys.
Teal like the color.
Yeah, Teal like the color. They're designers that are working on, that have developed a new system for telling time. But telling time is only one action that we take in connection to time. There's experiencing time. There's managing time. There's skipping, jumping, expanding, shrinking.
Like
there's so, time is essentially the water that we're swimming in, mm-hmm. in some sense. So it is a massive, massive endeavor to attempt to get into this space, especially at the scale that you guys are exploring at, because your ambition is for this new time-telling system, this standard of horizon time, replacing UTC, mm-hmm. which is what rules the world at this current moment. Mm-hmm. So they are ambitious. young, ambitious chaps, to say the least. And they're doing their diligence. They have a white paper that they just mm-hmm. posted on mm-hmm. their website, paragonday.systems, mm-hmm. That goes into all of the technical research and detail about what it would take and what it means to return to a time-telling system, a time-tracking system that is rooted in space and place again versus the abstraction of UTC. Mm-hmm. And in your paper, one of the things that you get into in the introduction are three foundational claims that help ground this concept. So I figure those would be good points to dive into. And yeah, it's back to this point of machines and humans, like UTC being this abstraction that has allowed us to come into precision to, you can tell me whatever mm-hmm. nth degree of precision we've actually achieved so far. Mm-hmm. But how connected is that abstraction mm-hmm. towards precision mm-hmm. to our actual bodies and our actual mm-hmm. beings mm-hmm. as living creatures with based in biological systems and mm-hmm. biological time. So mm-hmm. premise one, machines and humans need different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One of the ways we think about it is that at first, we were looking up, you know, looking at the sun and the celestial bodies and tracking time with those. And then we gradually started to look down. So then we had mechanical clocks and sand and water-based clocks. And then we looked down further into atoms. And so in terms of the precision of UTC and that time standard and how the second is defined, it's something like 9 billion... vibrations of a cesium atom, cesium-133 atom, something like that. And so basically there was this split at one point where we changed the definition of the second to, instead of being based on kind of the astronomer viewpoint, it was more based on the physicist viewpoint of a second.
Atomic time.
There you go. And they're even trying to redefine the second again, because now they think they have a more precise way of measuring it. And I think they're convening later this year. And so it's just this ever-going quest for precision that they have. And we see that as Yeah, it's like, you know, machines can handle that, but we don't necessarily need to be on that quest for precision. We already have something that we can use, which is the sun.
Mm. Just so everyone knows, you are listening to KWMR. We are in Point Reyes Station, and the time that we have been referencing today is based on the physicality of this place in orientation to sunrise and sunset. You are listening to us either online or on the dial 90.5, 89.9 in Bolinas, 92.3 in San Geronimo Valley, and KWMR offers vetted emergency information. We do our best to inform you about major road closures, shelter-in-place orders, evacuations, and natural disasters that are related to the West Marin area. When there is an emergency, tune in to hear announcements at the top and bottom of the hour and more often and when necessary. You can go to kwmr.org/emergency to learn more about how to be personally prepared for emergencies in the rural areas of West Marin. I think that PSA, that announcement, is relevant to our conversation today in regards to timing, because the difference between a time system of abstraction versus a time system that is more rooted in the human experience and the specifics of place is that's part of this foundational logic that you guys are working off of. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You called out a couple of the foundational claims we have in the white paper. One of those is time and space are coupled for human experience. And yeah, it's kind of one of the ways, at least I think about it, and that we think about it with the logo that we have of Paragonde, is that space is moving through time. And that's our experience of time. And so where you are, you're moving through time with the people around you. And so that, making that very apparent, by having your time be tied to your exact location is a much more, it's a more, there's identifying, what's the two I's, indicative?
Indicative and informative.
Yep, indicative and informative. Indicative and informative. And so, horizon time is more informative. Horizon time is more informative. Versus just being indicative of just saying, oh, it's just 2 p.m.
So what's the value of the information that we get? I mean, that's a pretty big distinction that we're... One time system is sort of uprooted, almost floating, and it just kind of names a point in an abyss.
Mm-hmm.
And then another actually provides us information.
Mm-hmm.
What's the use of that information? What benefit does it bring us?
It's a lifestyle change. So an example can be, when you want to meet up with someone and you want to, there's a difference between 7 p.m. and 2 hours till set. And so 2 hours till set actually like allows people the understanding of what the vibe will actually be. Like, oh, it's 2 hours till sunset. Because when the sun sets, the city and wherever you are, even if you're in a rural area, changes. People's energies typically go a little down, and then whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And when you orientate yourself to the shift that happens between daylight and nighttime, then you are more equipped to embrace that transition. Whereas oftentimes the transition happens without our consent, because we have no grounding for it using the typical UTC time system. So that's one way that it allows us to be a bit more congruent with our externalities, And I can go with other examples, but that's one.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, and it really starts to paint a picture for me and to connect it to some of the concepts that I was taught and learned during my time in the islands, that the shifts in the energy are the things that they dictate the quality of the time. Those shifts in energy are shifting what's available to us and shifting the timeliness of certain activities and certain things along with it. There, you know, night, the pole, it is a space where certain things are more appropriate than others. The daytime is the time of, you know, work and reaping. They speak about the full moon as being the time that you can actually work through the night because the light is available to you. So this sense of having a time system that allows us to reattune to the shifts, the natural shifts that are occurring both in our environment, and then by doing so be more attuned to the shifts that are happening within us and within others.
Yes. Definitely. I think another example that I didn't bring up that's very evident is knowing how to get enough sleep. So we have our circadian rhythms, and I like to go to bed around 9.5 hours till rise, which gives me 1.5 hours to fall asleep and get 8 hours of sleep and wake up with the sunrise. And like, that's a level of like coordination and an equation that I don't even know who has the stamina to kind of figure that out with UTC time, you know?
Because it changes every day.
It changes every day. Exactly.
Every day.
Yeah.
And if you travel.
Yeah, and if you travel, it's another calculation. So,
Yatu is good about waking up with the sunrise.
Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Let's get this going.
Let's see.
Hello, you are on air.
Hello, this is Bennett from Mill Valley. I am really enjoying the shift out of my rigid time frame of reference today. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
I was thinking about other time frames of reference and was wondering if you might, for instance, in the future support communities that might be interested in moonrise and moonset or tides.
Most definitely. There is actually a lunar event that happens and a bunch on the 31st. And we're helping them out a little bit with the calendar. But we have focused so much on the masculine sun, but there are so many other people that are much more educated on the feminine lunar. I'm curious, Norm, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, for sure. It feels like there is a we talk about a lot is the dance that happens with the sun and the moon, and the moon, as we've been learning much more from yourself, Diane, and some other friends that are a little more in tune with the moon, and it feels like some of what we've learned by designing out Paragonde systems can be applied to the moon, and it almost is starting to feel like it's a different order of magnitude, where the sun is very day-to-day and the moon is on a bit longer scales, potentially. And one of the things we were chatting about when we first met, Diane, is how a Paragonde clock can also play well with the lunar clocks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it seems like there's a lot for us to learn in that regard. You know, we gotta spend more time with it once we now that we have this foundation for Horizon Time. But yeah, it's a dance. It's a dance, and we need to know what's happening in that dance.
So, yeah, we talked when we were exploring what we might discuss here today about mm-hmm. how the sun. Well, and this is the third premise, the third foundational claim that you guys have, that the sun cycle is a natural unit for human time, and it's the most readily observable biological temporal boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, the Hawaiians understand it to be the masculine energy, as you mentioned, Yatu, and mm-hmm. that it is steady, stable, and regular, even though the specific time of sunrise and sunset shifts day to day, and mm-hmm. it's different based on your geography, like latitude and longitude, because of the tilt of the earth and et cetera, mm-hmm. it's still reliable. And the moon is the feminine energy that's reliably inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently inconsistent. It has this shifting dance to it where, you know, it has the 28-day cycle, but the specifics of the lunation of the moon can change in its speed and slowness. It tracks at a different pace, and the more that you tune into it, the more that you start to see and experience the variables that the moon allows you to tune to that the sun doesn't. And we spoke about how the sun is for tracking time, and that the moon is more fit for a calendar system, and that the stars are used more for directions and placement. And then in regards to even more time systems, you mm-hmm. know, my understanding of the Mayan calendar is that it is oriented to the galactic center versus the sun
mm-hmm.
or the moon
mm-hmm.
Or any other heavenly body that has a center of gravity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we lost Bennett, but thank you for calling in with that question.
Ciao, Bennett. Yeah, thanks for the question. That's a good one. One other phrase that comes to mind that our friend Ashley has that we've been working with on the more lunar side is lunar feminism. And, you know, I think there's probably a lot there, but I think it's a fun, I think it's a nice framing of it where mm-hmm. there's a lot to unpack in terms of how all these celestial bodies affect us mm-hmm. on Earth.
There's a story that I thought about telling today when I was preparing for our hour. And something on your... So these guys have a really awesome Arena profile, too. I don't know if
nice.
You guys as listeners are familiar with Arena. It is a like a visual storyboard type platform that's an alternative to Pinterest, might be the most comparable. ARE.NA.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys have a ton of resources connected to that. And one of them says, smash your clocks. And it reminded me of this experience that I had actually in 2007 when I was a fresh college graduate. I had gone to Paris to visit my friend for New Year's. And we were in whatever part of Paris the Sacré-Cœur is in. And there was commotion happening outside of our apartment when we were doing our kind of pre-champagnes and charcuteries. Mm-hmm. And we decided to go outside and join it. Mm-hmm. And it was this march of people, like this parade going up the hill. And forgive my French accent, it is horrendous, but they were chanting, "Du mérite non passer pas." And I was like, I don't speak French. What mm-hmm. are we saying? But I'm like started yeah. saying it with them, you mm-hmm. know, and we're going up the hill. We're going mm-hmm. up the hill. We get to the top and there is a demonstration where a group of people have dug a grave in a park mm-hmm. and are... There's a grandfather clock.
No.
Like, no. Standing.
They're burying a grandfather clock.
And there's news reporters around and everything, and this one guy's like passionately speaking in French about something I don't understand, and then he takes an axe to the grandfather clock and they smash it and knock it over, and we find out that we had stumbled upon a protest against the year 2008.
Wow.
And that their whole orientation, I mean, it was satirical and, you know, staged by a group of artists and yeah. anti-consumerism activists. Yeah. But they were saying, like, we are raging against the tyranny of time.
Wow.
And...
Props. Shout
it
out.
Was... I mean, I love the French for their spirit of protest. You know, they're like, if we... We're going to, you know, pull out the stops and get behind what we believe in and name what mm-hmm. we want to change and do mm-hmm. something about it, right? So mm-hmm. that's part of what I love about... what you guys are doing, like you're you're getting into it and you're exploring different solutions and mm-hmm. But this sense of perspective mm-hmm. and perception that we have, like that we can live life in a way that makes it feel as though time is oppressive mm-hmm. and tyrannous, and perhaps these systems that we have in place that are quite abstracted and mm-hmm. designed for efficiency and designed for production and designed based on machine logic and machine mm-hmm. needs, that's no longer really serving us and serving us to have a relationship with time mm-hmm. where we're recognizing the opportunity of it. And so in contrast to that sense of like the tyranny of time and our natural impulse to push against it mm-hmm. and to figure out how to like reclaim it for ourselves, there's this Hawaiian concept that one of my uncles holds and teaches, and I had the benefit of chatting with him for an hour this morning for the first time in about a year about it. And that concept is called ka'ananiao, and it means the rolling beauty of time. And it's about how we relate to time mm-hmm. and how we connect to time and mm-hmm. how we figure out how to move in a way with it that allows for the beauty to become the focus and allows for us to really be in a position to make choices. Because, you know, when I was talking to him about some of the questions you guys ask about, like, what is time? Mm-hmm. What is time for? Mm-hmm. His orientation was, you know, time, we are where we are because of mm-hmm. the choices that we make. Mm-hmm. And time is what avails that to us. But how can we be supported in making the right choices? Mm. And how can we support ourselves with the tools and with technology, because we live in a world of technology, humans always have, mm-hmm. right? We're always figuring out what mm-hmm. can serve us and support us and assist us and this or that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like, it feels like it's this quest to change what our experience is and figuring out how the tools that we use can support us in creating mm-hmm. that shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really nice phrase. It was rolling, the rolling hills.
The rolling beauty of time.
The rolling beauty of time.
Ka'ananiao.
Ka'ananiao. Yeah, that's nice. That almost makes me feel like time is moving through us, you know, as opposed to us moving through time.
Mm.
Yeah, for me it's more of a... a lot of time, there's a lot of different ways people like to map out time. And some, it's often popular for it to be circular, and especially in a spiral. And that, like, time is a spiral where you just keep revisiting very similar themes over longer time scales. And then if you unravel that spiral, then it's a linear line. And it's a little timeline. And so the rolling hills, kind of like, if you think of them rolling, eventually they create a spiral. That's how I drew it out.
Well, and that kind of connects to the app design that you guys have created, because again, we don't want you guys to think that Paragon Day Systems is just an app.
It's not an app.
But there is an app.
And we made an app, but
just like there's a website.
It's a clock. It's a clock.
But it's it looks very different, and the design of it even invites you into relating to time in a different way, because it's a sine wave. Like, it shows the crests and the valleys of the height of light and the depth of the dark, right? And invites you to think about where you are on that flowing but consistent.
Yeah, it's consistent. But like, it's, yeah, yep.
So it's not a straight, taut line.
That is not
a
straight
line. It's a flowy line.
It's a wave.
It's a wave.
It's a wave. More than anything else.
Yeah, it's a wave. And it's the sine wave that we use is, it's a sun cycle. So sunrise to sunrise is the quote-unquote day in horizon time. And we also have, on one of the clocks we've made, draw your own wave, or draw your own time,
and then it'll fill up relatively.
How does that work?
So say, I'm trying to imagine how we would say this auditorily. So say you draw a squiggle, or you draw your own line, or you draw a circle. Then let's say you draw a circle and you don't close the circle. You get super close, but you don't close the circle. Then after you draw, it fills in and it says, okay, the beginning of that line you drew is sunrise. The end of the line you drew is the next sunrise. And so then after you draw, it fills in your line and stops where you are now. And so, and it marks a little, it marks a little sunset.
Like a relative. It's to communicate relativeness.
So you can design your own clock.
That's one of the things that opened up for me when I started studying with my moon mentor, where the connect in my knowing, like, it wasn't just a concept in my mind. I actually had the experience of recognizing this as true, which is the relativity of time based on place. And how, you know, in certain valleys, anywhere, but we'll just keep referencing the islands, but different families would live in different valleys. And because the ridge line of the valley had a particular shape to it and different characteristics, you know, the place that the sunrise would hit, you know, if you're on the west side, or where the sunset would hit if you're on the east side, like, that placement and the timing of it is what indicates to you, like, it's the mark, it's the signal of what is in that moment. And there are energetics involved, like, there's so much depth and meaning to this rolling process, this rolling beauty, that that the more that we attune our consciousness to it, the more it will open up to us. And I think the invitation and the opportunity with adopting a new time system that even is just the first, it's like the first step, converting the tools that you use. And you guys are working on a calendar system as well, that the goal is to replace Google, like all of those cell blocks you were talking about, which I'm really excited about. I think everything's in beta now, but I am ready for the invite to trial it when you are ready to give it to me. But yeah, being able to just shift, take a step to shift our tools to help us orient our perception a little bit differently is like one step towards being more conscious with our choices around how we're paying attention and what we're paying attention to, which leads us further in the direction of being able to ask the right questions, to know what the right questions are and to ask the right questions so that we're in a position to manage time in our favor so that we can use our gifts and, as my uncle would say, help the community with our gifts, like manage time in order to bring ourselves to the table and to bring everybody else to the table as well in the best way possible.
Yeah, I agree. Ideally, what would be nice byproduct of all this is that people gather more often than they usually do now for the rise and the set of the sun.
And
that's because it's very location driven, you know.
So people being together again. And my uncle, the last thing that he said on the call today is that his advice would be for people to start watching the sunrise and the sunset again, and that it's actually, it's the pink in the sky. He's like, people get so, you know, excited about the green flash if it happens, but it's actually about the pink in the sky, which also changes every day, and it's 10, 15 minutes or so, but it's that, it's attuning to the temporality of the pink in the set and the difference morning by night by morning by night by morning by night that allows us to start to have an embedded, embodied experience of the shift and the rolling nature of it. And I mean, so many of these things when it comes to shifting our consciousness, like, you can't do it listening to an hour-long conversation or, you know, that I was talking about that with Uncle. It's like, how am I supposed to bottle up 30 to 50 years into 10 minutes? You cannot. So it's these practices that we need to adapt and adopt that can help, like, build the shift within us, within our minds and our bodies. And that's what creates consciousness shift. It's when the whole of us moves.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go chase the sun.
So that's our probably our ending thought for.
Oh, well, there's one person we gotta shout out. One of the a third team member on the research of Paragon Day Systems, Benji Shankwitz.
What's up, Benji?
What's up, Benji? He's holding it down in New York, upstate New York,
Keysville.
Shout out Keysville. And he brings a lot of grounding. He's been through many lives. Farmer. He's living a farmer lifestyle right now.
I think he's doing home restoration.
Home restoration.
Well, and that's it too. It's like those earth oriented practices are also very human and very much are what calls for and requires us to be attuned to these natural rhythms. So I want to thank you guys for being motivated enough to take your curiosities seriously and apply your gifts to trying to help us all move through this very necessary and important shift of being human again.
Thank you for having us.
Amen.
I'll go in with the little.
Thanks for having us. The sand is running out.
Yeah, we still got a little bit of time, but we're gonna let you guys enjoy some music. Any last thoughts you want to send people away with?
Time is relative.
Right.
Yeah, just no
time,
sense.
Time's running out.
Just recognize that sometimes people spend too much time trying to find the time, but know that time will always find you.
Love it. Good day, Point Reyes. See you next time.